It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And I must say that I am thrilled and really honored to have all of you sharing your time with us today, both myself and my guest. And I will introduce her in a moment because we have so much to talk about, and it's really going to be a powerful conversation. I've been looking forward to doing this since we chatted. But I want to lay a little bit of a foundation before we jump in. And on this podcast and really throughout the work that I bring to the world, I'm really intentional about talking about money and soul. Money has really been twisted. It's been taken over and really brought into this tool of power, right? This really, it's been co-opted is the word I use. And that has a lot of implications for how we end up with the money circulating in our lives, right? We've been told that money makes the world go round. We've been told that money, the money that's in our account, is our value. And it really plays with the head, right? I think that most importantly for the conversation we're going to be having in a moment is that we've been told that we are not the masters of this divinely given resource. It's the boss who tells us how many hours to work. It's the people who have billions in the trusts. It's even God, right? God's been set up as this judger. And it really has created, I think, an incredible amount of shame about what we have, what we don't have, what we want, what we don't want, and really layers and layers of belief about ourselves and who we should be and who we shouldn't. And it's just a bunch of blah. It's the best way that I can, the best way I can describe it. So, but the thing is that I have yet to find a resource that's as transformational of ourself. When we really start to take a look at the divine roots, when we really allow ourselves to look at who we are, and we use the tool of money to start separating who we are from those limiting beliefs, it's quite powerful. So to be able to recapture this taboo topic, to lead to our own self-healing is, I think it's one of the most powerful things that we can do. And it's one of the reasons why I am so delighted to have our guest here today, because she works in another realm of the taboo, the female body, right? Female body has been regulated, taken over, twisted, and for lots of things other than what it is. And you have used it as your own tool of self-discovery, coming back to self, coming back to love, right? And so we are here today to talk about that, really about that journey back to self, and to have a little bit of fun with burlesque as well. Mm-hmm. So welcome. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So let me introduce you to Reverend Legs Malone. And let me tell you a little bit about her, and then of course she's got a lot more that she was going to share. So Reverend Leg Malone is a burlesque performer, show producer, educator, and advocate of all things striptease. And as I was saying right before we came on air, I have been watching the YouTube channel Legs Malone and Her Donuts, is my favorite. My absolute favorite. I will not tell you how many times I've watched it. So she is also known as Anna Brooke, an author and interdisciplinary healing arts practitioner. So Anna has combined her role as Legs Malone to work in this transformational arena of burlesque. And you have a book coming out at the end of the month called Stripped Down, which I would love for us to chat about as well. The last thing I'd like to say and read from your bio, because I think it's so beautiful, is that it is her goal to help people reconnect with their own essence in love and discover deep, soulful possibility in their lives. So again, welcome. I'm so glad that we are here to have this conversation today.
Oh my gosh, Jennifer, thank you so much. I am so thrilled to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. So, okay. So I tell you what, let's lay a little bit of groundwork around your discovery and work beginning in burlesque. And I know that you had a lot going on before you discovered it. So why don't we start there and kind of tell the story and let people know how you came to this?
Yeah, with pleasure. So my background, is in art history. I have 2 degrees in it. It's really the only subject that ever made sense to me in school. And so I discovered burlesque at a time when I had just finished my master's degree. I was living in London at the time, and I was desperate to stay there. I didn't care what I had to do. I just wanted to live in England for the rest of my life. I'm originally from New York City, but I just didn't want to go back there. And so I embarked in the long, arduous, and ultimately unsuccessful quest to get my work visa, which did not pan out. However, within, I can only call it the most intense field of stress that I have ever experienced. Mm-hmm. I ended up having to come home and I stayed with my mom in Western Massachusetts, where I actually live now. And I went to a center for well-being and healing up here because when I got home, I realized that I had been bending myself into impossible positions for my job when I was living in London. Whatever I needed to do to stay there, which ultimately led to me kind of throwing myself under the bus, you know, not standing up for my worth, not standing up for what I needed. It was an immensely shameful time on a level. I was an illegal immigrant. You know, I don't recommend it to anybody. And I have deep compassion for anybody who does become an illegal immigrant for financial reasons. I deeply sympathize. It's not an easy path. And I basically, long story short, I came home, did this phenomenal weekend that was all about tapping into your sixth sense and really radically listening to your own intuition. And on the very last day of the workshop, there was a guided meditation. And during it, the facilitator asked, what would bring you the highest joy as a career? And at that point, I was wide open. I was just asking for answers, asking so many questions, because I knew what was happening in my life was not working, but I didn't know what else there was. And so I just sort of surrendered it on up and just said, okay, what is it? Just intuition, I'm open. And I heard a voice in my ear. I have never before and never since have I experienced this, but it said burlesque dancer. And I did not know what that was. Mm-hmm. And I felt as if lightning had hit me. I mean, every single one of my hairs stood up on end. I opened my eyes because it sounded like somebody was right there. And I turned to the side and nobody was there. And I was just humming after that. And I went home afterwards, got on the internet and Googled, what is a burlesque dancer? And it was like, oh, universe, you want me to do what?
Not paint, not sculpt. No, no. Get up on the stage. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, my whole training had been about helping artists facilitate their work. I was working in a curatorial collective. It was my dream to be a curator. I was 9 years old, my dad asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, a curator. I said, how on earth do you know that word? So it's something that I just always wanted to do. But it was like, I want to facilitate for others. I want to lift those amazing artists because I'm not an artist. And, you know, hiding behind that until I was suddenly like, oh my God, I have a voice. I have something I want to do. I have something I want to say. And as I dove into burlesque and it's amazing, rich history of, you know, really radical art and sensuality and claiming of the self, claiming the female body as a worthy vessel of not just beauty and joy, but celebration. It was that, I mean, it was, it changed my life. It changed my life.
So thinking about the celebration of the female body, would you say that you were close to being in, were you in close proximity to being able to claim that for yourself, or was that work to get there?
That was work with a capital W-O-R-K. I had grown up hating myself. Growing up outside of New York City, I was shown around me how women were only as valuable as what they looked like. And there was certainly some family patterning in that, but it was a shared, it was a collective experience and the social implications of that. And I had the sense of, I'm not good enough on my own, so I need to be filling the holes that others are experiencing in order to feel wanted, in order to be needed, in order to be valued, so I wouldn't be, you know, quote unquote, kicked out of the tribe. And it, you know, basically evolved, and I developed an eating disorder when I was in high school. You know, my first year in high school, I went to boarding school, and, you know, anorexia, which is what I was experiencing, comes from a lack of control. Most eating disorders do. And I look back on that time with an enormous amount of compassion, but also sadness, because the standards I was holding myself to and the way I was treating myself was so incredibly cruel and unkind. And but it's also on a level, I also was scrambling. I was grasping for straws. I didn't know which end was up. You know, if I didn't look a certain way, and I was gangly as all get out. I was a late bloomer. I was all arms and legs. You know, I was desperate to, like, you know, one day fall in love and have a boyfriend. And, you know, it was just constantly being thrown back in my face. And so the only thing I could control was what I was putting into my body. And when I, you know, fast forward to in my late 20s, when this, you know, burlesque revelation happened, I was, you know, finally working out the tail end of that, you know, just being like, no, like, I deserve to feed myself. I deserve to receive what it is that I want. I'm on a spiritual level, I am willing to trust that God is on my side, that the universe has my back. You know, that is not a thought I had growing up at all. And so burlesque was really sort of like the final nail in that coffin of sorts. But it, at the same time, you know, in every ending, there is a beginning. It was this, you know, the red velvet curtains getting thrown open, being like, welcome to the next chapter. This is where you get to show up for you in a way that not only you've never done, but nobody in your family has ever done. So it was, it evolutionarily speaking, it was a massive game changer.
Yeah. So we need to go to break here in just a moment. But what what I really want for us to talk about next is that claiming of it for yourself, right? Compared to what you said, I want to talk more about, you were talking about the holes that we fill, right? That we're filling somebody else's holes versus really, because using our beauty and using your beauty, using your body, using what you look like to fill somebody else's holes versus claiming it for yourself, right? Fantastic. So we will talk about that when we come back. And for now, you're listening to Soul Abundance. I can never remember the name of my show. There's something about that. Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, Jennifer Bloom. And we will be back in just a moment.
Have you ever wondered what your pets think about? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica will be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friends on Pets Talk with Pet Communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
So So we're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Legs Malone. So tell you what, we want to jump back into our conversation, but before we do that, can you share a little bit about how people can get in touch with you and learn more about your work?
Yeah, with pleasure. You can visit my website, legsmalone.com, exactly as it spells, no double G's, no nothing, just L-E-G-S, Malone. And, you know, for, I'm also all over social media. I've actually been, if anybody wants to spend some time with me, I've been doing lives for every day during the quarantine on both Facebook and Instagram. You can, again, find me as Legs Malone on both, well, technically Rev Legs Malone on Instagram, and Facebook, for whatever reason, will not let me be called Legs, even though that is my name. And so I'm Alexandra Malone, but it's the Legs is hiding in there. So it's Alexandra Malone on Facebook.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's on my website, though. That's too much to remember. Just go to legsmalone.com. It's all there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. So let's get back into the conversation here. So before the break, you were talking about burlesque and it being this tool to be able to for your own transformation. And I'm really curious because, you know, you think about, I think about burlesque and I think about the beauty of it. And I think about the very, you know, it's very body centered, but it is something that you're claiming for yourself versus using the body for others. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, with pleasure. You know, I actually talk about this in my book about how burlesque is the only art form that I can think of, you know, apart from performance art, which burlesque is, where the body is the medium, meaning the body is our paintbrush, is our clay, is our stone, you know, whatever another artist would be using as their medium. In burlesque, it's the body, and it is the revelation of the body, literally the revealing of the, you know, nude form, but legally speaking, you know, with all of the illegal bits covered up. But I mean, even saying that is wild to me, but it's true. I mean, it's true. But you know, there's something to be said. Not everybody who goes into burlesque has the same journey, clearly. I mean, that goes across the board. For me, because of the deeply spiritual cue that I had when I got into burlesque, that has always been a frame and a lens that I have looked through. But my story is not the same as everybody else's, for sure. I just want to, you know, own that.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking about claiming the body, I'll never forget seeing the first time, you know, the really like top tier burlesque performers. I was in London and there was a New York tour going through. And of course, this was literally like a month before I had to move back to New York. And these women that I was watching on stage with my jaw in my lap, they were about to become my colleagues, but I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing them and watching them, and these were women of all ages, all sizes, you know, with cellulite, with, I mean, every possible different body, but they were delivering their art and not getting in the way of it. You know, it's a challenging thing to put into words in some ways, because for me, that was when I saw what really the blessing and the triumph of what burlesque is the witnessing of a spirit at work, and the body falls away. All of those false beliefs that we have surrounded ourselves with, like I am only valuable or worthy or attractive or fill in the blank as I am beautiful or as others desire me, it's not true. That is something that is, I feel, basically the product of, you know, millennia of trauma against the body, period, but also the female body and all of the oppression and all of the legislation and you know, 9 times out of 10 men in power dictating what a woman is worth or how a woman should behave or how she should dress. And I mean, I am here as a beacon of love. I want to ground in my heart, but that makes me want to pick up a flaming sword.
Yeah.
And but I say that with love.
I know what you mean.
But right. we get to name it,
right? We do get to name it. We can name it from that place of love, but we do get to name it.
Yeah, and also, and then own like what the honest emotional response is, and then choose consciously, how do I choose to respond to this as opposed to a reaction?
Exactly.
But I feel like I'm about to like launch off on a like a tangent, and so I want to come back and make sure that I'm answering your question.
No, you really are, and there's a lot of things that we could branch out and talk about. So let's talk a little bit more about bringing in the divine. Mm-hmm. And I love what you had to say about it's the spirit, right? The spirit is on stage. The body falls away, even though the body is the medium.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about your own connecting with the divine and what that brought to you and your transformation.
Yeah, it's a beautiful question. You know, I am a firm believer in there are no mistakes in life. There are only lessons and cues and hints. And when I got into burlesque, it parlayed almost exactly into my healing, my relationship with God. And I, you know, because growing up, I was taught that the divine was something that was outside of me, that I needed to have an interstitiary, you know, like somebody to go to, if it was a priest, a minister, a healer, whatever it was, but I did not have a right to that relationship. And, you know, right around, you know, after I started burlesque, I went to India for, you know, a transformational, what turned out to be like a life-changing time. And that's really where I consciously made peace with God. And at that point, that everything started to change. As a result, that's when I, you know, really on a deep level, not just accepted, but chose to accept that God was, you know, not just on my side, but actually actively saying yes to whatever it was that I was putting out. So that if I wanted to do a certain thing, believe it or not, a door would open, or suddenly I would meet somebody and that would, you know, all those pieces would be connected. You know, Rob Bresny, I love his astrologer in San Francisco, who does free will astrology. He has this beautiful phrase of pronoia, which is the opposite of paranoia. Paranoia is the thought that the universe is out to get me. Pronoia is that the universe is conspiring on my behalf for my highest good. And is something that I started to really play with and work with, because it was, you know, I would, again, like just speaking about the control issues that I had growing up, you know, to surrender that and to accept that actually I don't have to be the source of anything. I get to know and ask and receive what it is that I'm wanting or going after. And then I just get to watch or experience whatever it is that comes forth. And, you know, if certain things are not aligning, I choose not to take that personally. If I have shown up in my fullness and done what it is that I need to do in order to make this thing happen, whatever it is, whether it's an actor, a new costume, or, you know, a challenging conversation with a producer or an audience member, whatever it is, that I can, you know, lift that up and own that, but that I have that support and that of the universe, of God, of Goddess, however you want to call that higher power, of divine intelligence. And to consciously relax into that was really a pivotal point in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, the more that I work with the medium of money, the more I step into exactly what you've been speaking about, right? That, well, there's a couple of things to say, right? First of all, that we are not just supported by the divine, we are of the divine. Yeah. There is no separation. There's no judgment coming down. There's no, you know, we're not having to work to prove anything. We are of that same resource. And we, while we are the master of our own distribution, the master of our of those resources that are available to us, we've worked so hard in the past. Mm-hmm. We've worked harder than we've needed to, right? Mm-hmm. That whole idea of surrendering and knowing that we have divinity on our side, divinity in our co-creative capacity sitting right next to us. And sometimes we drive and it navigates, and sometimes it navigates and we drive, right? Whatever that is, we have that. And as soon as you know that, you get to let go of the bank account, right? You get to let go of the money that you think you needed to prove that what you're doing is worthy. Mm-hmm. And of course, when that lets go, it comes in amazing ways and doors open in amazing ways. You know, I had a client say to me yesterday, well, the universe gave me another pet setting gig. You know, it's just really, it's amazing. It's amazing. So share with me a little bit more then about working with the divine in that, in the area of burlesque.
So
big question.
Yeah, but I think it's actually, you know, in a sense, it's a simple answer, in the sense that when I ground and center myself before going on stage, when I connect back to me, and specifically just ground into my heart center, I know that when I come from my heart, I can do no wrong. Mm. And, you know, if people have issue with me, at the end of the day, they're showing and telling me how they want to be loved. And it has nothing to do with me. But again, to create as neutral a field as possible, to ground into my heart, because there is trust. I, you know, within there resides that deep sense of, I'm here for a reason. I have something to deliver. This is part of my sacred service in this lifetime. How about right now I choose to trust that? Get out of my head, you know, stop worrying that, you know, I'm 10 or 20 pounds heavier than I used to be, or that I'm having a bad day, or my wig looks all messed up. How about I just choose to trust that I'm showing up in my full heart, offering something from the center of me?
Oh, that's beautiful. It was really beautiful. So how does that then radiate out to your life experience? Are you able to transfer that into the day-to-day life?
I would do well to be doing that every day.
wouldn't we all, right? But then we'd evaporate if we were perfect, right?
But it really is that simple. It really is that simple. Just that cue to go in and to connect. You know, and it doesn't take a long time. You don't need swinging incense and special robes. It is just a choice to come back down and in, because we each have that perfect divine spark and that, you know, immaculate connection. It's just a matter of, do we choose to acknowledge it and say yes to it in this moment?
Beautifully, beautifully said. All right. So let's go ahead and pause and take a break. I'm Jennifer Bloom. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance. When we come back with my guest, Legs Malone, we're going to talk about your book a little bit and some of the lessons that came through there. So we will be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Are you ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host, Tanis McRae, is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
So we're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with myself, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Legs Malone. Okay, so let's do this. When we chatted, as we prepared for our conversation today, you were talking to me a little bit about your book, Stripped Down, mm-hmm. that's coming out in May. Mm-hmm. And you said that you felt more vulnerable writing this book than you did when you were up on stage.
Oh, yeah.
So I would like to hear a little bit about that and about what that vulnerability is all about. And
yeah, with pleasure. Yeah, it's, I've been telling my friends, you know, this is the most naked I have ever been, in the sense that it is the most open exposure, really, of what is, what lies within my heart, and what is, what my story has been. Within my, so in a, you mentioned I'm an interdisciplinary healing arts practitioner, which I am, and I have been a breath worker for many years. And so I'm very familiar working with affirmations, and I actually use them all the time. And one of the sort of game-changing affirmations that I learned when I was in my training was, my vulnerability is my strength. Mm-hmm. It's has nothing to do with weakness. You know, you think about terms of like vulnerability and surrender. And in a militaristic culture where, you know, military might is vaunted, those are going to be equated with loss, with weakness. Yes. And, you know, fine for the theater of war, fine. That's not, that does not apply here. And vulnerability is that deep, for me, that deep intimate sharing with, for me, the prayer and the intention that maybe part of my story will help others navigate, you know, tricky opportunities, tricky waters that they're navigating in that moment. But to speak specifically about my book, I, you know, I was calling this book, and I still am, part memoir, part manifesto, because, you know, I mentioned earlier about, you know, sometimes wanting to pick up a flaming sword, you know, just in the face of so much cruelty and so much. But what it ultimately is just the belief in separation at work. And you, one of the chapters in my book, it's one of the first ones, it's called The Myth of Separation, because this was something I learned when I was healing my relationship with God and understanding and starting to learn, well, what is it to be separate? What is it to be at one with divinity? And learning about how separation functions, and, you know, how ego is a function of separation. And ego is the thought, I believe, is the thought that, let me put it this way, ego is the false idol that we create when we have the thought that we are separate from God. Mm. And ego starts to run the show. And that's when things go real mucky, because it's all about me and I versus the world, as opposed to we are all in this together. And, you know, the book, it talks a lot about, you know, the first chapter is all, it is me. You get to read all about me and my story. Second chapter is all about burlesque and what the history of burlesque has been, which has been an amazing feminist, you know, very much women-driven art form that was all about celebrating the body. And, you know, there were some crazy, crazy stories. I strongly encourage people to, you know, go read the history books or history blogs, rather. There are some books written, but about women who, back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, who were going up against, you know, big forces to be like, no, this is what I want to offer. Yeah. And there was an audience for it, which was how they were able to do it. But, you know, coming back to my book, that once I complete about burlesque, I start to break down, why is it that we have these thoughts that certain people are better or more valuable or more worthy than others? And it all goes back to separation. And, you know, also unpacking how many systems use separation as a way of both defining and justifying certain treatments of other people. And I feel like this is the crux of where we are at right now as a culture, as a planet, as communities. You know, unpacking racism, unpacking sexism, unpacking ageism, ableism. I mean, every anti-Semitism. I mean, the isms can go on forever.
Right. Yeah, the financial systems, right?
But yeah, and the finance, mm-hmm. absolutely, because mm-hmm. it all leads back to money, because yeah. there is a belief, you know, money as the idol, money as something that can control, money as the cause as opposed to the effect.
Yeah.
And it's just falsehood. And it's, I you know, my this book, I am treating it as an offering on the altar of the here and the now, you know, for people to read it, to either use the what I talk about as cues for their own self-exploration and start to unpack, well, hold on, why do I feel that, for instance, I'm not worthy of earning money around what it is that I love doing?
Yeah.
Or why is it, it's a lack mentality, basically, like unpacking the lack mentality, because I feel, you know, a lot of people have that, not just women, you know, men and, you know, folks of fluid gender. This is a human thing.
Yes.
And, but then there's the the intersectionality of it, what it is to be a white woman navigating that, what it is to be a Black woman, what it is to be, you know, Asian or a Black and brown woman versus white, whatever that is. And even to call it white, that's rooted in lack, that's rooted in, you know, physical anthropology, which was a construct that was developed in the 1700s that has no bearing on reality. Oh, it has none. This is something else that I feel very passionate about, but I digress. But, you know, coming back to what it is to be alive, to be in a body is a gift. It is a blessing. And when we can start to show up and say, what do I have to offer? But even within that, before, what do I have to offer? What can I acknowledge about me? What are my gifts? What lies within my heart that, you know, wakes me up in the middle of the night with excitement? You know, when I start thinking about, ooh, when I grow up, I want to be blah, 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 whatever it is. And to pay attention to that, you know, that is a divine calling, that we all have our own perfect purpose in this lifetime, whatever it is. And, but alongside that, our own perfect learning curves. You know, life's purpose is to reveal us to us.
And right. So, we are always on purpose,
yes.
But we get to be drawn towards that greater purpose, right? When we accept that we are who we are and that mm-hmm. we are divinely molded and we let ourselves shine from there. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that's when we get to step into a purpose that we never, I never thought I'd be talking about money. The paradigm I work with is soul language. Mm-hmm. And one of my languages is capitalist. And when I heard that I was a capitalist, I freaked out. I didn't want to be a capitalist. I wanted to be a heart-centered artist. You know, you can't argue. But what I understand now about capitalist is capitalist understands how to take who we are and make more. We can take anything and make more of it. So instead of taking these old patterns and making more of that, why don't we tune in and touch that divine piece of ourself mm-hmm. so that we can make more of that purpose that we are uniquely aligned for?
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Totally. Yeah. 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 So can you share... you on the hook just for a moment, but can you share an exercise or something that you would suggest about either being able to make that choice to connect in with mm-hmm. the heart or purpose? Do you have something that
and this is what I like to start all of my classes with, and you know, my specific burlesque educational classes, is number one, really creating an awareness and an acceptance that you belong in this body right here and now. Mm. You know, in burlesque, we talk a lot about how you can only move as well as your feet are connected to the ground. And it's one of the reasons why, like, you might be able to buy some gorgeous high heel shoes, but if you can't dance in them, what's the point? And, you know, I suppose like those little like clip-clop, like stripper heels that a lot of women wear, which is beautiful. They're great aesthetically. They're fabulous. But again, they look like tiny ponies walking because you're like, you can't walk in those shoes.
Yeah.
They're gorgeous.
Right. It makes your leg look lovely, but yeah.
Exactly. But you know, the exercise that I love playing with, you know, as an introduction is people to stand with their feet, bare feet, either on the ground or even outside on the earth, standing, you know, with soft knees and just breathing and putting on some music that you love. Not the top 40 chart, unless it is something that you love, but something that literally moves your body into motion and feeling the weight of your body pressing yourself onto the earth, but also feeling the support of the earth supporting your feet and simply dancing and moving. You know, if your feet never leave the ground, that is totally cool. You know, moving, dancing to this music and repeating either out loud or silently, I belong. I belong in my body. I belong in this moment. I belong in this female body, this male body, this transitioning body, whatever it is. I belong in the here and the now, just to literally dance that. Because when we start to literally move our bodies, we cannot stay in the same rigid mindset. Yeah. We can't. When you move your body, the mind will follow. And so, you know, to even just start at this one point, I belong with the challenges that are at my doorstep. And if anybody is sort of like, "Ooh, that sounds too big," I want to encourage people to play with willingness. I am willing to know that I belong. I am ready to accept that I belong, because these tiny negotiations, they're actually not that tiny. These are huge, huge, especially if we carry a lot of baggage about what it is to be a certain gender, a certain age, a certain shape, a certain texture, a certain color, whatever it is. To claim that I belong is a stunning and powerful testament, really, to the divine on planet Earth saying, thank you. You know, and again, like, that would be the second thing, to say thank you to your body. Thank you to your feet. Thank you to all the joints, the bones, the muscles, the tissues, your eyes, everything. Thank you. Thank you. Because as one of my dearest friends would say, we're here for a good time, not a long time. So, you know, own and honor what you have while you have it, because it's a blessing.
Beautiful. And you know, we are physical beings. And as much as we talk about divinity, we have to own our physical vessels. Mm-hmm. And the only way to create on this planet is to bring that energy through you, right? Absolutely. You can't be ungrounded and create, right?
Exactly.
So what a gift. And I used to think that I wanted lightning bolt moments, right? Like I wanted what I wanted now. But what I'm starting to realize as I get through this journey farther and farther, it's those chunks. It's the I'm willing, I'm looking forward to, I'm ready to, and then getting into that state of here I am, I belong, right? That it's those small chunks that move us forward so much faster than a lightning bolt ever could. At least on a regular basis, right? Because I am grateful for your lightning bolt that you heard about being a burlesque dancer, for all that you've brought. So there's so much more that we could say and talk about, but we have to wrap it up here. Yeah. So Anna, thank you so much for being present today and sharing your gifts and your story. And I would encourage everyone to come check you out, legsmalone.com. Watch for your book that's coming out at the end of May. I think it's going to be so powerful for a lot of people.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure.
Do you drive yourself crazy trying to make important decisions? And when you finally do, then you start second-guessing yourself. Would you like to know why you do this and how to change it? You can. When you take time to go inward, you'll find a wisdom that resides in the body. Begin by quieting your mind and sending your awareness into your body. Notice where there may be a discomfort. Ask it what it wants you to know. Listen carefully. It will reveal what it is about making this decision which holds you back. You can keep asking for information until you reach the deep core value of what keeps you from comfortably making a decision and sticking with it. Awareness is the first step toward making change. I'm Carrie Kadambi, and I'd love for you to join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit my website, thedivineguidancegift.com.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
All right. Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom. There is so much we could talk about here in this last segment to follow up with what Anna had to say. But I want to take a little bit of what she said about the body and bridge it into an exercise. So I really love what she had to say at the end about being in the body is a gift. And truly, it is important to go back to the roots of money, to go back to the understanding that money is of the divine. However, we cannot create anything on this planet. As I said at the end of the last segment, we cannot create anything without it coming through our physical body, right? We have to bring that energy in and then put it back out. Now, the divine takes care of making it into form, and I don't want to get into the metaphysics of it. But one of the really amazing pieces about the body is that we get to feel. We get to feel when we're in alignment with what we want. We get to feel when we're out of alignment with what we want. And so I want to do a quick exercise here to get you started thinking about working with the body. So our body has a chakra system, and the second chakra, which sits low in our abdomen, is the chakra that is in charge of things like abundance and sexuality, fertility. Money is a part of this chakra. And I read a really wonderful book. The author's name is Ambika Waters, and she talks about the archetypes of the chakras. And so the second chakra's archetype is the empress or emperor. So when you are using this energy in your body in an aligned way, in a conscious way, you show up as the empress or the emperor. And I'll talk about what that means in a moment. But when you are out of connection with this particular energy in your body, the archetype becomes the martyr. So in terms of money, the way that is expressed is when you're in alignment, you are in a space of feeling the lushness of life. You are enjoying all of the scents and the sounds and all of the creations, the trees, the water, the rich fabrics, wonderful food, all of that, okay? But when you're on the martyr side, that's when you're really more in this space of whatever resources I have, I'm going to give up for you. And all of my resources, not just some of them, not really giving, we're not talking about giving from the heart here. We're talking about, this idea of if I can make my life more barren and sparse and stingy, then I'm doing what I need to do for you. And, you know, as you can kind of tell, if you start thinking about your bank account in those terms, right, where is it falling? Is it falling more in that empress, emperor, really rich and nurturing and lush and lavish? Or is it falling more into the martyr side, which is the barren and sparse, right? There's a lot we could talk about here, but what I want to do is I want you to start feeling this in your body, because when you can experience it in your body, you're much more able to release some of the mind programs that we have taken on through our life. All right. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're someplace where you can close your eyes and you're willing to do that, go ahead and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your lower abdomen and just take a couple of breaths and bring your attention down into that sacral area. And I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions, okay? So all of us, no matter how in alignment we are sometimes connected and sometimes disconnected. So we carry both martyr and empress and emperor within us. But let's see if you can get a feel for where you are the majority of the time. So I want you to imagine that you can tune into the martyr part of this chakra and just ask yourself a couple of questions. So one of those questions is, what parts of your life are you waiting for prosperity to feel joy? What parts of you are you sacrificing so that you can give to others? Where are you giving to others because it's too big of a risk to give to yourself? What stories are you telling yourself about wanting physical and material things? Okay. So now I'm going to ask you to imagine that you can tune into the Empress. And notice what parts of your life are feeling really juicy. Where are you living through all of your senses? What parts of your life feed you joy? On a scale of 1 to 100, how passionate are you about your life? And I know I'm moving through these questions rather quickly, but I'm going to ask you to notice and notice how your body responded to the questions about that were more on the martyr realm and the ones that were more in the empress emperor realm. What's coming up? Do you notice if you are living more in one or the other? And then the question gets to become, what are you willing to accept or allow or let go to move into a decision to fully allow your experience on this planet, to fully live through purpose and, of course, with abundance and money? And then just pause and take a breath. And then when you're ready, you can go ahead and open your eyes and come on back. And my invitation to you is that you watch as you move through your next few days over the next few weeks. And notice, where are you allowing yourself to live fully? Where are you putting the brakes on? Where are you putting rules in place like, well, I'll do what I want when I have enough. I'll do what I want when XYZ is present. I will allow myself to tune in to who I am once I've built a foundation. Or notice when you're saying things like, I can't have that for whatever reason, right? Or if I were to have that, that would make me feel shameful, right? Just what I'm asking you to do is just really build an awareness of where you're allowing yourself to very vividly and lusciously be a part of the planet, because the more you do that, the more you are aligning yourself in ways that are going to allow the money to flow and for that to be your abundance. Okay. All right. So we are going to let that be enough for today. And if I can answer any questions or if I can help you in stepping into that lush, a live place where you are allowing abundance to flow, please reach out. I'm more than happy to help, and I look forward to helping you make that transition. But for now, we're going to let that be the end. I'm so glad you were here for our episode today. Please tune in every other Friday. Well, it's the third Friday of the month, and we will continue to talk about all things spiritual. Next time, I am talking with an amazing practitioner who talks about karmic stories and ancestors and does clearing of ancestors so that you can step into the present in an abundant way, which should be an amazing conversation. So thank you all for being here, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.